Our reading today is going to be in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to verses 43. A joyful witness, a joyful witness. Christ is risen. Amen. Amen. Christ is risen indeed. And so today, even around the world, people celebrate. Christians all around the world are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, the crucified Savior who died on the cross and rose again. But you know, the interesting thing about that is that even though Jesus is celebrated by Christians, the world itself should be celebrating, because the crucifixion of Jesus was not just for a few people. It was for the entire world. Everybody should and can benefit from the crucifixion of Jesus and the death and the resurrection of our Savior. And so the death, resurrection of Jesus, the unfathomable gift, something beautiful that has been given to each and every person. It's given to everyone. Past, present, and future. We need only receive the gift that has been given to us. And so our passage this morning takes us to a group of people, Gentiles, who will receive that gift, as we'll see today. Our reading from Acts chapter 10, 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears Him does what is right is acceptable to Him. And you know the message He sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace to peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. We are witnesses to all that He did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put Him to death by hanging Him on a tree, but God raised Him on the third day and allowed Him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people, to testify that He is the one ordained by God to judge, as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about Him, that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. And this is the word of the Lord for the people of God. So Easter is a celebration. It serves as a witness. There is this day marked on everybody's calendar, Easter Friday, Easter Sunday. And if you have these digital calendars, it syncs up, and somewhere on that calendar it will say, today is Easter. There is a witness that goes out throughout the world to the fact that the Savior, our Savior, Jesus Christ, has overcome death. And the message is simple. The message is this: we who are found to be a part of His death are also found to be a part of His resurrection. And it is a great time. As I think of this, I'm reminded of the words of John in Revelations chapter 1, where he speaks, he has this vision, and there's this moment when Jesus appears to him and he falls down before Jesus, and Jesus says to him, don't be afraid. He says, I'm the first, I am the last, I am the living one. And then he says this: I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever, and I have the keys of death and Hades. It is like a huge kind of a moment when the world stops to say something incredible has happened, and we all get to be a part of that. And we celebrate. The world should celebrate. And around us there should be celebrations to Easter, because it is a gift to all who would receive Him. But the question is, has Easter maybe been captured by our culture? Is it possible that maybe in some small way, maybe even in a big way, culture has taken over what Easter should be and turned it into something else? For some people, at best, they look at it maybe from a distance and say, it's just another Christian or religious holiday. At very worst, it is the time of eggs and Easter bunnies. Well, I'm not sure that's the worst we can do in life when we have chocolates. But the truth is, sometimes if it becomes just about a bunny and eggs, then we have lost something. Somehow the world can and does so often capture something beautiful that was given to us through the message of Jesus Christ, and it gets lost and caught up or commercialized, or somehow it has been taken over. But if the world looks to us and says, if there is this great witness and this witness is as important as what we say it is, where does the world find a witness to the hope and the life that is to be found in the death and the resurrection of Jesus? Where are they going to see this? Where will the world experience the joy that we see today? Where will they find that joy? Now, it's interesting because what we tend to do is we tend to say things like, we need people to come to church so that they can see the joy of Jesus. And we have a traditional mindset that says, come to church and see the joy of Jesus. But when we say that, what are people hearing? Are people really hearing, come and find life and find the goodness and find the hope and find eternity and find life in abundance, John 10:10? Or do they hear, come to division, come to disunity, come to people that seem to be full of scandals and controversy? What do they hear when we say, come to church? I did some research on this. And in 2023, the trust in churches and religious organizations was up from 31% to 32%. Now, I say that because the truth is that when we say to people, come to church, what you're saying to them is, come and experience the resurrection of the Lord. Come and experience the goodness of God. But what they see and what they hear is a newspaper article, scandals, disunity, hatred, all sorts of weird, crazy things going on around the world. And they say, well, we're not sure we want to be a part of that. But we say, but that's not what it is. Because we have experienced it firsthand. We don't always understand how people are hearing what we are actually saying. And so the resurrection is extremely good news. In fact, this is the best news that anybody could ever hear. But how do we get the message out there? How do we get people to hear this message? How do we witness to the life, the goodness, the joy, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in a world that's lost hope, even in church and organized religion and the organization of the church so often? How do we do that? I think our passage of Scripture today can give us some clues on how to do that. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to verse 43, there is quite a bit going on here. Peter comes in to a Gentile audience. He's speaking, he's sharing the message and the hope of Jesus to a Gentile audience. That's very important to understand. Through a vision that he has received and through a miraculous leading of the Holy Spirit, he finds himself speaking to these people and sharing to what we would probably say is a non-church, an unconventional audience. For the most part, Jesus came to the Jewish people, and for the most part, that's where he preached. And we see throughout the book of Acts that the gospel starts within Jerusalem, but it spreads and it goes to the Gentiles. Now, for some of us, if you're wondering what a Gentile and a Jew is, Jews are people came from the Jewish nation, and if that's not you, the rest of us are Gentiles, okay? But we are Gentiles who know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's because of situations like this, when Peter, through the leading of the Spirit and through just a divine intervention, finds himself speaking. He's not in a synagogue. Some people would even say, you shouldn't be speaking there. It's not the right place. But something has happened because the good news needs to go out to everybody. God brings him to this place. But powerful thing about this message is that he goes to the Gentiles and he does this. He gives them the message. But not only the message, he witnesses to that message. Here is your message, and I'm going to be a witness to that message. Two things we see in that passage. There's actually three things. There's the witness, the message, and at the end, the preaching. But let's start with the message. Ironically, we speak about the way that Jesus goes missing in Easter so often. We've touched on that a little bit. People can celebrate, do celebrate Easter, without actually celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Today, probably all over the world, people might be getting together as family. It's Easter weekend, so what do? We get together, we sit, we talk, we connect, we have conversations. But you can celebrate Easter without actually celebrating Jesus. Strange to say, You can, I figured this out, in fact, we figured this out, you can live in the Bible Belt without having the Bible. Because you're in, because the title's there, doesn't mean it's there. You can be in a Christian church that has no Jesus in it. A Christian church without Christ. And we might say, but that sounds crazy. Well, you can go to church and you can turn it into a country club. Like, let's all just get together and let's just hang out. And there's no Jesus. None of Jesus is there. In fact, there are churches that actually get together. And actually, I had a look at one the other day, where they actually think Jesus is too divisive. So they say, we're a Christian church, but we take Christ out of the church. People do that. But you see, you can have the message and say, we're bringing a message, but the message somehow doesn't get across. We say, here is the message, but the message is empty. It's like sending a letter to somebody, putting the name on the outside, and say, here's the message. When they open up the envelope, there's nothing inside. And we got to be careful sometimes that we don't send empty messages to people. We've got to send a message that is powerful, a message that is a witness to what is happening in the world. In Acts chapter 10, 36 to 38, Peter says this, says, you know the message. That's powerful. Think about this for a second. You know the message. How many people in our world know the message? How many people who do not go to church right now, if you walked out into the street to people who are not going to church today, who haven't been in church for 5 years, 10 years, say, do you know the message of the Bible? How many of them will say, yeah, I think I know what's going on there. You know the message. How many people know the message? For the most part, not all that often, and more that's declining. But for the most part, a lot of people say, yes, we know the message. He says, you know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Then he says, the message spread. Has the message spread? The message has spread through nations, through cities, through towns. This message has gone far and wide. With the technology we've got today, the message goes very far. For the most part, the message has spread. Here he says, throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism John announced, and then he says, here is the message. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So if the message has gone out, the message has spread, why is it that people don't believe in Jesus and celebrate as we do on this glorious Easter morning? Well, you see, the message needs a witness. The message needs a witness. In Acts chapter 10, 38, the passage continues. And then he says this, we, himself, the apostles, we are witnesses to all that he did. We. He stands up in front of them. He says, I'm here to tell you, I am a witness to this message. I'm here to tell you, this is true. This is factual. And he goes in Judea, Jerusalem. They put him to death. I am a witness to the death of Jesus. I am a witness to the fact that God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear not only to all people, but to us who were chosen as God as witnesses. Then he says, we ate and we drank after he had rose from the dead. Has anybody ever told you a story and they go, you won't believe it, but this happened? I've encountered situations where I've seen the moving and the power of God, and they say, you can't believe they prayed for people and they were healed. I can't believe this happened, that happened. Do you know what happens when you encounter something that is unbelievable? When it's unbelievable, the first thing you go is that true? Right? You go, is this really true? And then what do you do next? You go, how do you know? And then somebody says, well, a friend of 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 a friend told me. Then you go, really? I'm not sure it's true. But what if they say, you won't believe it? You can't believe what I saw. You can't believe something happened. This was incredible. And then you go, really? And then they go, I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. I was there. At that point you go, wow. Because there is a witness to the message. something. Here's the message. And I'm telling you, I was there. Do you know what's unbelievable? What's unbelievable for us in this 21st century is to think that the Son of God would come to earth. We say, isn't that unbelievable? That the Son of God would walk amongst humanity with us, people, leave his heavenly habitation, come into a place of fallenness and sinfulness, and be counted as one. That's unbelievable. That he would then, because of unjust injustice and false accusations, be killed, crucified on a Roman torture device called a cross, and he would die, the Son of God killed, the Creator killed by the creation. It sounds unbelievable. And if that's not enough, then we get to the point where we say, and then 3 days later he rose from the dead. And we go, that's unbelievable. But you know what's even more unbelievable? What's even more unbelievable than that is why. What's more unbelievable is that he loved you so much, you, individual you, so much, you. You can look in the mirror, you can look at your own face. Don't stand with your husband and your wife and your family. Stand alone, look at yourself. He loved you so much that he would do all that just for you. That is truly unbelievable. Peter says this. He says, I was there. I am a witness. And then everybody starts saying, it's too unbelievable. How can we believe this? Do you know the Bible, which is more credible than half the documents we have in history, has eyewitness accounts of this person, this rabbi, this controversial figure in history called Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. They know he died. They know that he rose again. In the book of Acts alone, there are about 5 or 6 situations where people witness and say, we saw it with our eyes. We saw it with our eyes. We saw this with our eyes. Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 5, chapter 10, chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul actually says, and then he rose and more than 500 people actually saw him. There was a witness to the resurrection of Jesus. This is not a fairy tale. This is not something unbelievable. This is the truth of Jesus Christ. He died, he rose again, and he did it because he loves you. So we have a message. But do we have a persuasive witness? That's a big question for us. We weren't there. I wasn't there. I can tell you, if I was there a long time ago, then I've been around a long time. I wasn't there personally. So what witness can we bring to this doubting world? We have the message, but we need a witness. N.T. Wright says this. He says, Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project. Watch this. Not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. And he says, that after all is what the Lord's Prayer is about. Here is the point. I think it's in John when the blind man says, I can't tell you the details, but what I can tell you is that I was blind and now I see. And the witness that this world needs is the reality of the resurrected Christ that lives in each and every one of us. I can't give you the deep theological understandings of every part of every scripture in the Bible, but what I can tell you is that I was lost and now I am found. That I was riddled with guilt and shame. And then he came into my life and he gave me a fresh start. He said, I bring forgiveness through the body of Christ, through the blood of Christ. There is forgiveness. I know that I was broken. I know that I needed healing. Yet he came in and he made me whole. And something is alive inside of me. And Paul touches on this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where he says this. He talks about this move, this thing, the resurrected Christ. When the resurrected Christ touches this brokenness and the sinfulness of our body, Jesus, he says, if anyone is in Christ, if we are found to be a part of Christ, he says, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And as we go into the world doesn't need us necessarily to invite them. Yes, invite people to church, do that. But what they need is a witness of a church that is united, that is full of the Spirit of God, that the life of Jesus, the healing of Jesus, the power of Jesus is flowing through each and every one of us. So when you're sitting at Starbucks, or you're sitting at whatever coffee shop you choose to go to, or you're having dinner with family, whatever it is, the life of Jesus, the resurrected life of Jesus in you is a witness to the message that is in the Word of God. The message has gone out. The message has been heard, but people are looking for a witness. Our witness is to the authenticity of the gospel message. It's seen in the newness of life that comes through the resurrection of Jesus, our Messiah. And so on this Easter Sunday, we say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And He is risen in me. And we stand and we witness to the world of the truth of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 10, that final little part, he says, go into the world. He commanded us, Peter says, to preach to people and to what? Testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. Let our message and our witness testify that Christ is risen, and He is risen in me. Let us pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, may the resurrection power of the Almighty God come upon us today in ways that we have never thought or imagined. May the witness of this church not necessarily be in our gatherings, but in our lives and in our relationship, in the fact that we are carriers of the Spirit of God, and that through us and in us, people might experience you, Jesus, the resurrection, your resurrection in our lives and through our lives. May people look at us and may they testify and may they say, I see a risen Lord in you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.